All right, kids can go to Keiki Church. I do want to mention that at the end of the service, they will be. There's a meeting going on for the Sunday school teachers that are involved. If you're interested in participating in Sunday school, then that's the meeting for you. Okay, so just wanted to mention that. What they do is they kind of set up a schedule for a quarter of the year. So they do like 3 months, and then you make a commitment for 3 months to help out, and you only serve like one time during the month, unless there's a sickness or something like that. So it's an excellent opportunity to get involved in the lives of the young people. And so right after the second service, down there, you know where the tarp is. So thanks again for being here. Want to direct you to Genesis chapter 41. We have been walking through this book of Genesis, and our newest character has been the person of Joseph, and we have seen some major dilemmas and some major issues that he has gone through. I don't know if you remember, but it started with a dream, and that dream was the sheaves of wheat were bowing down. His was standing upright, and the rest of them were bowing down to him. And the second dream he had was the dream of the sun and the moon and the stars, and the sun and the moon and the stars were all bowing down to him. So he told that dream to his brothers and to his father and to his the people that were around. And his father considered it. He was thinking, man, there might be something to this dream. But his brothers were ticked off at him. In fact, they were so ticked off that one day he came out to visit them. And when he came out to visit them, they said, oh, here comes that dreamer. We're going to kill him. We're going to get rid of him. We're going to do away with him and see what comes of these dreams. And they beat him up. They threw him into a pit. And some Midianites came along and they sold him into slavery. He was righteous during this whole time, and in the midst of his righteousness, he finds himself in the service of Potiphar. And he does such a good job. He is so diligent with his work. God blesses everything he puts his hand to. And so in the midst of that, he finally gets this blessing, and that blessing is he becomes kind of the head of the household of Potiphar's house. He's in charge of everything. In fact, the Bible says the only thing that Potiphar didn't put in his hand was what he was going to eat. In other words, Joseph, you do everything. I'll figure out what I want to eat. Okay, I don't think he actually cooked anything. He just ate it, right? Hey, bring me a steak or whatever, you know, asparagus, you know, depending upon what his diet was. Anyway, in the midst of that, he's accused of rape, which he did not do. He did what God called him to do. He resisted the temptation of Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar lies, accuses him of rape, and he ends up going to prison, right? But God was with him in prison. And remember, we studied that phrase. In the midst of his trial, in the midst of his difficulty, God was there with him. Okay? And when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, God is there with us as well. Okay? And so in the midst of that happening, he goes from being kind of the a prisoner, and God starts taking care of him. God gives him the authority within the prison to the point where the head jail keeper says, you know, Joseph does a lot better job at this taking care of the jail than I do. And so he gets promoted. And even though he's a prisoner in a dungeon, he has head over everybody. And remember, a couple guys show up. We've got a cupbearer for the king. And we've got this other person, the chief baker, and they have a dream, and Joseph has the ability to interpret these dreams. And he says to the one, you know, in 3 days, you're going to be dead. And the other one, he says, in 3 days, you are going to be restored to your position. And God uses those prophetic dreams, and he restores the chief cupbearer, and he the baker ends up being hung, right? And so God gives Joseph this prophetic ability to interpret the dreams. And we talked a lot about that. If you're interested in any of those discussions, I think they're on our website, okay? So my messages are, this little mic here isn't amplifying me, but it is putting the messages on the website. So if you're interested, you can go there and find them, okay? So the one thing Joseph said to the cupbearer was, when you get out of here, go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh that I have been falsely accused, I've been put in prison, everything has gone wrong in my life, and I just want to go home. And make the appeal to Pharaoh, and maybe Pharaoh will let me go. Okay? Well, did the cupbearer, did he remember? Of course he didn't. He got out, and he's living the high life again, and he's forgotten totally about Joseph. And that's what happens when we come to the end of Genesis chapter 41. The beginning of Genesis 41. So look with me in Genesis chapter 41, starting in verse 1. Now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. Now let's just stop for a second, because we've got a timeline here, and that timeline is from when he interprets for the cupbearer and the baker to the time where Pharaoh has a dream. 2 years. 2 years. In fact, we are going to find as we go through the text that from the time that Joseph gets thrown into the pit to the time that he is finally released, it's a 13-year process. It's a 13-year process. Okay? Now, good preachers will tell you that we want things done right now, and yet God has a different timetable than you and I do. God has a different timetable than you and I do. He does things in His time, and 13 years is a long time. It's a long time. Okay, now, if Joseph is really good at what he does, and I'm not quite as good as Joseph, 13 years might be just a drop in the bucket. It might be 20 or 30 years. But what we're going to see is there's a dream back here, and there is the fulfillment of that dream here. Okay? And sometimes God, maybe not a physical dream, but God will give you a dream, and that dream takes time to fulfill. Okay? But what's the key thing here? Do not give up on your dream. Look at what happens in Pharaoh's dream. Verse 2. And lo, from the Nile there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and gaunt cows ate the 7 sleek and fat cows, and Pharaoh awoke. Okay, so you see what's going on here? Is Pharaoh is having a dream, and he sees these beautiful cows, if cows can be beautiful. They're fat and plump. They're juicy. When Pharaoh looks at it, he gets hungry. He's like, there's something good to eat, right? But then there's these sickly looking cows. There's 7 fat cows, and then there's these sickly looking cows, and the sickly looking cows go over and they walk and they eat the fat cows, right? Well, how does a skinny cow eat a fat cow? And cows don't eat other cows. They eat grass. So there's these weird things going on in this dream, right? And it's so startling to Pharaoh that he wakes up and it starts to disturb him. Okay? Look at what happens in verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 5. He fell asleep. The he there is Pharaoh. And dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain came up on a single stalk, plump and good. And behold, 7 ears, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Okay? So, have you ever seen like a stalk of wheat or something? When you get a really great stalk, you get a stalk with like not just one head of grain on it, but two heads of grain on it. Okay, that's what I'm told. I'm not really a wheat farmer, never have been, but you can get up to two heads on one stalk. Man, that's good news, right? You just doubled your money on that one stalk. And if you had a whole field full of them, you doubled your money on your whole field. But this isn't just like two. There's seven on one stalk. I mean, this is a bountiful stalk. And they're plump and they're good. And they, you know, maybe he gets hungry again. He's thinking, this is good news for me, right? But then all of a sudden, you get these seven sickly-looking things. They're eaten up by the east wind. Now, remember, we're in Egypt. What's to the west? We got the Sahara Desert. These things are scorched. They're pitiful-looking. And the little tiny scorched-looking heads come up, and they eat the fat ones. Yeah, you ever seen those cartoons when like you got something skinny or something small, like a little mouse or something, and there's a big bear and the mouse opens up his mouth and swallows the whole bear but stays the same size? That's what I'm picturing, okay? If you've never seen a cartoon like that, it means you're probably young or you don't watch TV, okay? But it's this little tiny thing, rawr, and it, boom, and then it stays small, right? That's what's happening in Pharaoh's dream. Now, this dream is not just like, that was kind of weird. This is something that's really, I mean, look in verse 8 there. Now, in the morning, his spirit was troubled. The Hebrew word there, he was greatly disturbed. He like wakes up and this is all he can think about. He's like, oh man, that's weird. You know, he's like, hey, Pharaoh, you want to eat some food? Well, I can't eat right now because, you know, this dream is bugging me so bad. And it's to the point that he sent and called all the magicians in Egypt and all his wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was no one who could interpret for Pharaoh. So he brings in all these wise guys and he says, hey, wise guys, I had this dream. What does it mean? They're like, well, I don't know. Okay. Well, do we know anyone who can interpret dreams? This is Joseph's opportunity. By the way, God is creating this opportunity not only for Joseph, but for the world. Okay? For the world. Look at what happens. Now, in the morning, verse 9. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I would make mention today of my own offense. Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had this dream on the same night, he and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now a Hebrew youth was with us there, the servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. For each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And just as he interpreted to us, so it happened. He restored me in my office, but he hanged him. Okay? Now, this is just a brief summary of what happens in chapter 40, right? And we went through this last week, and we talked about how Joseph has the ability to interpret these dreams. And the cupbearer is going to start off with a little bit of politician going on. He's like, hey, I don't want to bring up this time where I really ticked you off and you threw me into prison, but something really interesting happened there. Okay, you see how that kind of happens in verse 9 there? I would make mention of my own offense. And he says, but something really great happened. There's this Hebrew kid down there, and he is able to interpret dreams. What's the implication? Maybe you should go get him out of prison and bring him and tell him your dream and maybe he can do something for you. Okay? There's one guy that has this one ability and it doesn't seem like that big a deal, but Pharaoh might want that guy. Okay? Look at verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent. He called for Joseph and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Okay? The custom of the day. They're all bald, right? You ever seen those old pictures of they just shave everybody? They shave everything. Okay? So they're cleaning him up and they're making him presentable. They're like, oh, dude, you stink. You cannot go to Pharaoh looking like that and smelling like that, bro. Okay? Get rid of those old clothes. Put some good clothes on him because you're going in front of the king. Right? Look at verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, but no one can interpret it. No one can interpret, and I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Uh-oh, it's not in me. I can't do it. But God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. In other words, again, we're looking at this, the character of this man, Joseph, and we have seen over and over and over and over again. He resists temptation. He gives glory to God. He always just, you know, brings... This man's amazing, isn't he? He's a man of character. Even when he ends up in prison, he turns his eyes to God. He's like, all these bad things happen, and every time a bad thing happens, I just look back to God. He just keeps looking back to God. He keeps trusting in God. He keeps giving glory to God. He keeps doing what God calls him to do, even when he doesn't want to. Okay? Now, sometimes, in my life and in your life, when we experience difficult things, we turn to things outside of God. Don't we? Remember, a few hundred years later, we're going to have some kings over Israel, and we've got Saul and we've got David. We got David who has a whole heart for God, and we got Saul that has no heart for God. And because of his fear of the people, Saul does these things over and over and over to the point where God says, I'm taking the throne from you. I'm taking the crown off your head, and I'm going to put it on the crown of a shepherd boy. Right? What do you turn to when you go through difficult times? What do you turn to when you go through difficult times? When we turn to anything but God, we are turning to an idol. We are putting something in the place where God deserves to be. Okay? Now, verses 17 through 24, we are going to have a repeat of the dream. We already looked at that dream in verses 2 through 8, so I'm going to breeze through. I'm actually just going to skip right over it. Okay? We've got these skinny cows eating fat cows. We got this skinny heads of grain eating fat heads of grain. Interesting, in Hebrew kind of literature, you have this repeating thing that happens. That's part of Hebrew literature. But we got this dream that Pharaoh has again. But look with me down in verse 25 with me. The dream has been explained to him. He's wondering, what does it mean? In verse 25, now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one in the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Okay? In other words, hey, look, the dream about the grain and the dream about the cows are the same thing. Okay? And what we're going to see is in his interpretation, he's going to take something and relate it to something else. Okay? Let me show you how that works. The seven, verse 26, the seven good cows are 7 years. In other words, you got seven good cows. We got 7 years. It means 7 years. You got seven grain heads of grain. That means 7 years. Okay? Look at what it, again, verse 26, the seven good cows are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one in the same. Okay? Both of them are pointing to the same thing. Look at verse 27. The seven lean and ugly cows that come up after them are 7 years, and the seven thin ears scorched by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt, and after them 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will ravage the land, so the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the because of the famine, for it will be very severe. In other words, Pharaoh, God's telling you something. There's going to be 7 years of abundance. Man, people are going to go out. They're going to throw a little grain on the ground. It's just going to sprout. There's going to be all this grain. There's going to be all this harvest. There's going to be all of this abundance. And that's going to happen for 7 years. But after that 7 years, there's going to be nothing. People will get fat for 7 years, and then for 7 years, they'll be tightening that big belt. Okay? Now, you and I probably haven't experienced something like this in our lifetime, unless you remember the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression. Okay? Now, I know we've gone through little ups and downs, and there's times when, the stock market's good, and I know some of us were trying to retire a few years, and the stock market was plummeting, and we had to stick it out for a couple more years before we could retire and things like that. But most of us haven't gone, like, without eating food. Right? Now, why is God showing this to Pharaoh? Does Pharaoh even believe in God? No, he's got all his other gods out there and all this stuff. But he is in a position to do something about it. You know what? God cares for people. He is going to give them 7 years of abundance and prepare them for the 7 years of leanness. Okay? And he's going to do that, and he is showing Pharaoh, this is what's coming up. You need to think ahead and prepare for what is coming. Okay? Now, there might be a message for us there. Okay? There might be a message for us there. In all of our lives, if we want to retire someday, we might need to think ahead while we're young and start preparing for that retirement. If we don't prepare for that, there won't be anything there. Okay? If we have kids, when they're like this tall, eventually they're going to be this tall, and they go to college, and if we don't begin to prepare for that, we won't have anything when they're ready to do that. Okay? The wise person doesn't spend every penny they get. They live on a percentage of their income, and they put part of their income aside for a rainy day. Remember, Grandma and Grandpa used to talk about that? Don't spend it all, put some aside for a rainy day. Right? Now, what do we do in America? We not only spend everything we have, we actually get credit cards, we get credit, we get all of these things, and we spend not only what we have, but we spend more than we have. And now we don't have anything in the rainy day fund, but we also don't. We have to work just to keep up with what's going on. Right? Okay, look at verse 32. In the midst of this. Now, as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh, twice, it means the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring about. Okay, in other words, hey, Pharaoh, the reason there's two is this isn't like Pharaoh, don't go and pray and ask God to change his mind. This has already been determined. This is what is coming in Egypt. Okay? You're not going to change God's mind on this. Guess what? There's a famine coming. And the whole world's going to go through a famine. Okay? You know, in your life and in my life, sometimes there's a famine coming. And doesn't matter how much we pray, doesn't matter how much we love God, it doesn't matter how much, it's just coming. Okay, you know what? God doesn't think like you and me. We think that if God were to love me, then he would not make me go through difficult times. This wouldn't have happened. We get all upset We're like, God, where are you? Why don't you? How come you're letting this happen? Why are you doing this to me? If you really love, in fact, I'm not going to talk to you right now. I'm not real happy with you. Do you ever feel like that? Do you know that sometimes when we pray, the prayer is for the prayer? You know what happens when I pray? You know why people don't like to pray? You know why we don't like it? Because when we pray, it means that we have to humble ourselves a little bit. We have to look inside a little bit. We don't really like that, do we? I like being right. And I've had in my life this thing where, like, I know I'm wrong. I'm arguing with someone. I know I'm wrong. I'm arguing like an idiot to try to prove my point, even though I know I'm wrong. Is that anybody else? Am I the only person? I care more about winning the argument than the other person or admitting. And you know, when we go to God in prayer, we have to admit a couple things. First of all, we have to admit that there's a higher being than me. And we don't always like to do that. We don't always like to be reminded of that. And the other thing that we do when we go to prayer, we have to say, you know what? I'm wrong. And you're right. And when we pray and when we get like that, when we start talking to God and when we start opening our heart and we start admitting that we have problems, that we're sinners, that we've got all of these things going on, then what happens is it takes this hard heart and it lets a little bit of the hardness out and a little softness can come in. And so sometimes prayer, we don't always like to pray. Prayer is not so much about changing the situation and God changing the situation. Sometimes prayer is about God changing the prayer. We pray for easier roads when we should be praying for stronger shoes. Lord, strengthen my legs so I might walk this road that you've put before me. Do we pray like that? Or we pray like, oh Lord, I just can't handle this anymore. Sound like that?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that. Okay. Look at verse 33 with me. He's going to give a little advice. He's not only going to interpret the dream, he's going to say, here's what Pharaoh needs to do. Okay? Now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take actions to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the product of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of all these good years that are coming up, and store up grain for food in the city under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and all of his servants. In other words, hey, in the good years, take a fifth, take 20%, and put that 20% aside and take care of it and guard it and do all of these things. And then when the famine comes, you'll have something to eat. And not only will you have something to eat, you'll have something to help the people around you. Okay? Now, what we've seen in the life of Joseph is, in his family, no management. When we get to Potiphar's house, he's given some management of some things, and he's got some excellent management skills. But a household isn't a really big thing to manage. He's not like a CEO of a company, but then he goes to prison and whoa, managing a prison, that would be a lot of work. But he's growing. God is giving him a harder trail as he goes along and he's growing in these areas. And now he has the ability to manage a whole country, a whole nation, the most powerful nation on earth, right? And in the midst of his problems, in the midst of his trials, in the midst of his struggles, God is not giving him an easier road. He is giving him stronger shoes. Right? Okay? Now, let me just give you a real principle. Okay? One thing that needs to happen if we want to take what God has given us and grow it and expand it. I want to give you five words. Five words. Now, word number one is this, vision. He gives us a vision for what is coming up. You see what's happening in Joseph's life. He's been given this dream, this vision, and he's saying, hey, and now he's sharing that vision with Pharaoh. Here's what you do, Pharaoh. You got all this abundance? Don't just spend it all. Start putting some of it aside. Okay? And then he sets some goals. So you got vision, and then you got goals. You set some goals, and goals are measurable. They have a time frame on them. They have those type of things. What's the goal here? 1/5, 20%. Okay? And we're going to put them in these barns, and we're going to... Okay? You have a vision. You have some goals. Word number three is the word that a lot of us don't really like. It's the W word. Work. So work. Okay? I not only have a vision and have goals, but I work toward those goals. I keep my eyes on the prize, and I work toward them. Number four is this. When we work and when we accomplish what God has called us to do, enjoyment. We have an opportunity to enjoy it. And people that spend their lives putting aside a certain percentage and start saving for retirement, they get to a certain age, they get to a certain number, and they go, hey, now that I've done this, now I can enjoy what has happened here. And then fifth is maintenance. Maintenance. I maintain the things that has happened. Okay? Now, if my vision and my goal are to improve my marriage, and then I work on that, and my relationship with my wife improves and gets better, and now we get to enjoy that, right? But we also need to not like just do that for like 5 months and then quit. We got to maintain that. Okay, you see how that works? And this can be in any area of your life. Vision, goals, work, enjoyment, maintenance. Okay? Look at verse 38 with me. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, okay, we've got this Joseph, and Joseph has said, hey, find a guy who can do this for you. Pharaoh's response to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Okay? Interesting. These are Pharaoh's words. I have found inside of you, Joseph, a divine spirit. The Spirit of God. Amen. Wow. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the divine spirit lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives there. Okay? And when we stop trying to get out from under the load and bear that with character, with work, with effort, with dignity, then God does something in us, and people should be able to recognize that. Right? Okay? Joseph becomes valuable to Pharaoh. Joseph has gone from the pit to the pinnacle. He has gone from being a zero to being a hero. He has gone from the bottom to being the best. He has gone from rags to riches. Okay? Wow. Now, what if Joseph would have given up? What if he would have said, I have endured this for 12 and a half years and I cannot do it anymore? All right? Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if it's a sickness. I don't know if there's some stress in your marriage. I don't know if it's a money issue. But keep on keeping on. Keep doing the right thing. God has given you a vision. Set some goals, start working on it, and let God do the rest. Take you from the pit to the pinnacle. Okay, look at verse 38 with me. I'm sorry, verse 42. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. And he had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee. And he set him over the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Now, let's look at some underlined words. I've underlined some words here. Okay? First one, signet ring. I got signet ring underlined. This is the authority of Pharaoh. He has been given the authority of the highest man in the world at his time. Okay, the second one is he has been given garments of fine linen. He's well dressed. He was just in prison. He went from those red or orange jumpsuits to he's wearing the best stuff out there. And I don't know what the best stuff out there is, or I'd give you an example, but I don't know. Okay, next one, he's put a gold necklace around his neck. He's gone from no jewelry to now he's got all his bling. Okay? This is a picture of riches. This is a picture of riches. Okay? Look at verse 43. He set him to ride in the second chariot. This is the second best ride in the whole land. Okay? This is the Ferrari or whatever. Rolls Royce. I don't know what your best car is. Basically, Pharaoh's going to go out, and he's going to be in the first chariot. When they're on a parade or something like that, who's going to be in the second chariot? Joseph. Okay? As they're out in the chariot, verse 43, they proclaim before him, bow the knee. Hey, all you servants, bow down. It's Joseph. He had a dream, right? Sun, moon, stars will bow down to him. Sheaves of wheat bow down to him. What were you thinking when we read and went through that passage? What were the brothers thinking? Will we bow down to you, us 12? You think mom and dad are going to bow down to you and the 12 of us? Was God talking about 12 boys out in the middle of the desert and mom and dad? What was he talking about? Everybody. Everybody. You know that sometimes our dreams are not big enough? We don't even see big enough. We have a vision. We have this idea. We have this thing that God wants us to do in our lives. And we think, oh man, you know, I don't know if it's worth it. But God wasn't talking about 12 boys in a field that were taking care of sheep. He was talking about everybody. What does God want to do in your marriage? Does he just want to like make it a little bit better? Is that your dream? I don't know if your dream's big enough. What does God want to do in your workplace? Does he just want to reach like a person or something like that? Serve a a big God. We serve a huge God. And He wants to do something in your life that you can't even imagine. Nate Cito, in the back, his dream was to get away from substances, to get away from drugs and alcohol. And God did something much bigger than that with him. And he's not done with Nate yet. He's taken him not only off of the substances, but now Nate is helping other people to get off the substances. At first, his dream wasn't big enough. His dream was, Lord, can you do something with me now that I'm single again? And yet God said, I'm going to take this marriage, I'm going to put it back together. Okay? God wants to do with you more than you can even dream. Look at verse 45. And we're getting close to the end here. Then Pharaoh named Joseph Zarephath-Pahi and gave him Asheneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as his wife. And Joseph went forth over the land of Egypt. Okay? He has this name that Joseph has been given. It means revealer of secret things. He's the revealer of secret things. That's a pretty cool name. Okay? And now he's been accepted into Egyptian society. He's gone from the dungeon and he's gotten a wife from a powerful man. Okay, he's been accepted into society here. Look at verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Potiphar, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Okay, remember in Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, when he got thrown into the pit, he was 17. Now he's 30. We do a little bit of math. We've got 13 years. That's where I came up with 13 years. Okay, verse 47. I mean, I am a Bible student, but I can do that math. That was like second grade stuff. Okay, during the 7 years of plenty, the land brought forth abundantly. And he gathered all the foods of these 7 years, which occurred in the land of Egypt, and placed the food in the cities. He placed it in every city, the food from its surrounding fields. Thus Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure. Okay? He set aside something for the future. Okay? Now, we're going to, I know the chapter isn't finished, but we're going to be finished because we're going to add this to next week's. Because we are going to look at a dysfunctional family next week. Okay, and that's kind of a different subject. But let me give you a couple of things. I want to read a couple verses for you in this idea of stewardship. What is stewardship? Stewardship is when I say, yeah, I don't own anything. God owns everything. And I am just a steward or a manager of all the things that God owns. Okay, and I need to take care of what God has given me. I do not own this woman. I am certainly married to her. But my job as a husband is to present her to God better than when I got her. Right? I do not own this child. My job is he's like an arrow in my quiver, right? The Bible says a child's like an arrow in the quiver. Have you ever built an arrow before? I'm an archer. I've built arrows. You get a stick. And sometimes it's got to be straightened. And it's got to have fletching put on it. And it has to have a nock. And it has to have a tip that's appropriate for the situation. Whether it's a field tip for shooting targets or whether it's something else. Okay? And then you put it in the bow. You load it up. You aim it where you want it to go. And then you let it go. right? That's my job as a parent. To prepare, to aim, to release. Right? If I don't release, it's not worth anything. I'm a steward of my children. I'm a steward of my wallet. The money that God gives me, it's not mine. Right? How'd Joseph get to where he was? He stewarded everything. Even his gift of interpreting dreams. First thing he says, it's not mine to interpret the dream, it's God's. Okay, let me give you a couple verses. First one is Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. It says this, Jesus is speaking. He says, he who is faithful in very little things is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in very little things is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you true riches? And if you have been faithful in the use of what is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Okay? He's basically saying this. This is the way God works. He gives you something that's small. And he says, how did they do with that something small? If they do really good with that something small, he gives you a little bit more. And if you do something good with that little bit more, he gives you more. Do we see that in the life of Joseph? I'm going to give you Potiphar's house. I'm going to see how you do. He did great. I'm going to put you in prison. Now, it doesn't look like an upgrade, but on a management size, that's an upgrade. Right? If you do good in there, I'm going to give you the world. Okay? Vision was back here. Sun, moon, and stars. And now you're in charge of everything. Are you guys with me? That's how God works. Okay? How are you doing? How am I doing? Am I being faithful with the little things? Okay? Another story from the Bible. Parable that Jesus gives is in Matthew chapter 25. And this is a long one. It's the story of the talents. Right? And I'm going to, instead of reading it to you, I'm just going to tell it to you. Master brings three servants. And to one he gives five talents. And to one he gives two talents. And to one he gives one talent. A talent is a large amount of money. It's a lifetime of money for the average worker. And the one with the five talents takes those five talents. He stewards them. They don't belong to the servant. They belong to the master. He takes those five talents and he turns them into 10 talents. Okay? The one with the two talents, he takes those two talents. He invests them. He turns them into 4 talents. The one with the one talent says, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to screw up. And so he buries it in the ground. And the master comes back from his trip. And when he comes back, the one with the 10 talents comes before. He says, Master, I've taken your 5 talents. I've turned them into 5 more talents. Well done. You've done good. I'm going to put you in charge of even more stuff. The one with the 2 talents. Master, I've turned your 2 talents into 2 more talents. There's 4 talents. Well done. I'm going to put you in charge of more stuff. The one with the 1 talent comes and says, Master, I knew that you reaped where you did not sow, that you're a hard man, and that you were going to hold me accountable. So I took your talent and I buried it in the dirt. But here's your talent back. You wicked slave. I'm done with you. I'm going to throw you out where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't want to be there. Okay, I don't know where that is, but you don't want to be there. Take that man's talent and give it to the man who has 10 talents. In other words, he takes my stuff, he turns it into more stuff. We're not talking about just expanding stuff here, by the way, right? All right, now let me just read a couple verses from this section. Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 is in the middle of this story. It says, the master said to him, this is the first one, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Okay. Have I told you recently that I love you? I don't say these things to bring shame to those of us who failed. This is how God works. When we're faithful with the little things, God gives us more. When God gives us a little bit of joy, and we're faithful with that little bit of joy, and we focus on that instead of all the problems around, you know, there may be 10,000 pounds of everything else and all the garbage and all of that, and there may be 1 pound of joy, but when we're faithful with that little piece of joy, God expands it. Doesn't he? That's why the church is different. The church is different because we don't whine, we work. We don't give up, we get up. Okay? And we don't do it by ourselves. We have a Savior who has the world in the palm of His hand. Okay? We go for clean hands and pure hearts so that we can put our head on the pillow at night. We don't pray for an easier road. We pray for stronger shoes. The goal of our prayer is not necessarily to change our situation, but to change us. Fire refines the gold. Pressure builds the diamond. And time builds wisdom. That thing that's in your life that looks overwhelming and huge is small in the Master's hand. And it is changing you. And God's goal is not to take it away, but to use it to develop you. Let's be faithful with the little things so that God will give us more. Will you bow your head?